Bickley and Murata. Social studies.
Oh, all kinds of
activity. Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
Sorry, Carol.
We love Carol.
Jared can't get the time straight. I can't get the fact that we have a sponsor on social studies.
It's 1 o'clock, Vinny. There's a sponsor when we play the open at 1 o'clock.
I know.
And it's not VJ's Sweet Bippy Pickle Tortillas.
No.
No.
It should be, though.
It should be.
That the demise of that company was way too
way
quick.
Too soon.
All kinds of activity on social media with our Twitter account at Bickley_Murata. Here's Sarah to take us through some of it.
Yes.
As only she can.
Ah, welcome to Social Studies, everyone. Like Vince said, this is a Twitter-based segment that we do on Twitter at Bickley_Murata. That is where you can find us. And that's where the questions go every single day and where I pull the answers from every single day. So if you want to participate in the segment, that is how you do so, going and following us and responding to these questions on Twitter. All right, let's get to Chandler Jones. You probably know by now, NFC Defensive Player of the Week,
mm-hmm.
after terrorizing the Titans on Sunday. Open-ended question. We are asking, what is the most dominant single game performance by an individual athlete in the history of Arizona sports?
Oh, the first one that popped into my head, I already have to discount Devin Booker's 70 points against the Celtics,
okay.
but it came with in a loss with mm-hmm. some weirdness attached to it.
JD Martinez, 4 home runs against the Dodgers.
That was
spectacular.
That was up there.
Anquan Boldin's debut as a rookie in Detroit was spectacular.
Also came in a loss, though.
Randy's perfect game
or Randy's
20 strikeout game.
Those are both near the top of the list. Eddie House, 61 points against Cal.
Yeah.
Kalen Ballage, 8 touchdowns against Texas Tech.
There you go. who was the head coach of that team? Who was running that defense?
Cliff Kingsbury.
Kingsbury. Come on, Jared.
He didn't coach the defense.
You are so slow on the draw. Like, wake up, Jared.
Stop rubbing your eyes, Jared.
Shut up, Jared.
Jeez. I was recording something off the computer, so not in the right.
Kingsbury. Kingsbury.
All right, that's social studies.
Well, right. See you tomorrow, 9 right. o'clock.
I'm curious to see what some of the other answers were.
Yes, so it is without a doubt Randy Johnson's perfect game that got, I would estimate, probably 90% of the replies. Also, that 20 strikeout game got a lot of mentions, too. One that I didn't hear from you guys, Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals, Charles Barkley. 44-24 in that game. That came from Corey.
Yep.
Kalen Ballage with his 8 touchdowns, 7 of them on the ground, with ASU's win over Texas Tech a couple years ago. Eddie House, 61, got some love. This one from Louis Shantz. Kurt Warner in the, let's see, against the Packers in 2010.
It was the best quarterback game I've ever seen to this day. Kurt
Five
Warner
touchdowns.
Against Aaron Rodgers.
0 interceptions, 379
yes.
yards.
I think he had 5 touchdowns and 5 incomplete passes the whole game.
Yes,
I think Dan Marino versus Dan Fouts back in the day was really good. You remember that infamous Dolphins-Chargers game?
Yeah, that was great.
And then there's this one from Corpse Shots.
That was not Marino. That was pre-Marino.
That's right. Yeah. It wasn't Marino.
David Woodley.
That's right.
Strock.
This was a pretty impactful performance.
A.J. Dewey. Sorry, Sarah.
Okay.
No, I think they're...
Sorry about that.
It's totally fine. This one's worth the wait, though, from Corpse Shasta. Pat Burke's performance against Seattle in December of 2005. Geez. He shot 75% from the field and had 6 points. His performance was the straw that broke the camel's back, and a few years later, the Sonics left and went to OKC.
That's really
That's
good.
That's very funny.
Big single-game performance right there. All right, moving on to our next question. Aaron Rodgers getting a lot of attention this week. Negative attention for his stinker of a game on Sunday. Of these 4 options, who is your favorite Rodgers? Is it Aaron Rodgers? Is it Mr. Rodgers? Mr. Rodgers' neighborhood? Is it Kenny Rodgers or Steve Rodgers /
Captain America?
Ooh. What about Rodgers and Hammerstein?
Oh, that's a good
two
one.
Two people.
It's two people.
Yeah, but did you ever see them apart?
Right. Right. What about Jolly Rogers?
Roy Rogers got some love.
Roy Rogers, yeah.
Of that group?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the nice one. He was a good neighbor. Mm-hmm. He was a good guy.
You lived by him? I never knew this.
I just never understood why he always took off one pair of shoes and put on another pair of shoes.
I found that weird, too.
That was very odd.
His house shoes.
That's right.
Yeah,
you
right.
You don't want to track in the dirt from
comfortable
outside.
Comfortable sneakers. So the implication of the beginning of the show was he was coming home from work.
Yes.
And he was getting comfortable. Took off his sport jacket and put on a comfortable sweater.
Yeah. Right.
He took off his dress shoes and put on comfortable sneakers.
When I'm coming home, I'm not putting shoes on, but I also don't want to see Mr. Rogers' toes. So I think it's nice that he did wear shoes.
Well, and those, they didn't have Crocs.
Well.
So he could have put on Crocs when he came home.
I don't want to see anybody in Crocs.
I'm with you on that. I never want to see another man's feet.
Yeah.
I just don't. Especially yours, Jared. I can only imagine how hairy your toes are.
Okay.
No?
If we were to compare your toes to the width of a noodle, would it be angel hair?
Jared wears Birkenstocks like 80% of the time. You've seen his toes.
That's a good point I gotta have.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so Mr. Rogers getting the vote from the show?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's a good way to go.
44% of the vote agreed. I voted for Mr. Rogers, too. 32% went for Steve Rogers, Captain America.
Or the former Expos pitcher.
Nah. 13% went for Kenny Rogers, only 11% for Aaron Rodgers.
My buddy Chris came up with maybe my favorite answer.
Oh, let's
Martin
hear.
Short as Jackie Rogers Jr.
Oh, yeah.
And the $100,000 jackpot wad.
Jackpot wad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite all-time sketches in Saturday Night Live history.
All right, moving on to our next question. You started off the show talking about the new 30 for 30 docuseries about the 86 Mets and just what a fascinating group that was.
Mm-hmm.
So we're asking another open-ended one. Which sports team would you most like to see a documentary on? Which specific sports team, year, season, etc.?
I'd have to go with the 83 Arizona Wranglers.
Oh, yeah.
I knew you were going to go there. I just knew you were going to go there.
So you'd be one of the talking heads in the
I would like to get to the bottom of the how dysfunctional and weird it was when Wayne Gretzky was head coach of the Coyotes.
Whoa. That would be your
local choice?
That'd be one of them.
Or just overall. Any non-local options?
I mean, the Mets is checking off a pretty big box there because it's such a fascinating team. They've done it on the 85 Bears.
I was going to say.
The Bulls.
The Last Dance was
A team that was just really horrible would be a great pick, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Like the 62 Mets.
Oh, yeah, right. You remember that team, don't you, Vinny?
The 2021 Diamondbacks.
Denon.
Oh, boy.
Right.
Cheese Doodle Dad responded the 0-16 Browns and the parade that 3,000 or so of their fans
That's right.
Did outside the stadium. The 7 seconds or less Suns got quite a few mentions. 2021 Bishop Sycamore football team, of course.
Oh, that one. Yeah, that's going to happen.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
And then Beer Bob says the Cowboys during their Super Bowl run in the early 90s. So many personalities would love to see what happened off the field.
That actually is a good one, Beer Bob.
Yeah. Yes, Beer Bob.
Corp Shasta with another fire response.
On fire
these
days.
The 2005 Minnesota Vikings. The documentary would probably have to be on after 2 a.m. on Cinemax.
Yes. My fiance also just texted in a vote for the 2007 Cactus Shadows High School cheer team.
Oh, geez.
Oh, boy.
We're talking dynasty, guys.
We're not going to get to the stand-up comic one, are we?
No. Can we squeeze it in later?
We could squeeze it in
off
later.
The grid.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
We'll do that later.
I was looking forward to that.
A lot of good names.
I know a bit about that subject.
Yes, you do.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you.
Social studies every morning at 9 o'clock or 1 o'clock in Jarrett's world. I'm fighting off a sneeze, too.
Oh, do it. Let it flow.
Oh, I have defeated the sneeze. Victory! You can follow along at Bickley.
That's not necessarily a victory.
No?
Suppressing a sneeze might be a loss.
Are you saying I could die during the commercial?
Well,
I don't want to do it on the air.
Yeah, let me get out of here.
Put your mask on and sneeze into the mess.
At Bickley, yeah, that's a good way to go. Pickley underscore Murata on Twitter. Coming up next, Urban Meyer says, yeah, no thanks. I'm not going to USC. Why does nobody believe him? We'll get into it next. It's Pickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
FM, Arizona's sports station. Pickley and Murata. Pickley and Murata Mornings.
Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it so that I can put it to bed.
No chance. I'm here committed to try to build an organization.
That is Urban Meyer today dealing with the media, and the media asking the question that needed to be asked. Because of your track record, mm-hmm. Urban Meyer, your name popped up after Clay Helton got fired at USC, and there you heard him say it, no chance, I'm committed to try to build a team here. It's sad that this is where we are, because college coaches, for the most part, lie on a daily basis. So when you can say something as definitively as Urban Meyer did and say no chance, and everybody listens and goes, okay, I don't believe you. But you can thank your predecessors, Urban Meyer, like Nick Saban in 2006.
I don't know how else I can say it, guys. I've said it three different occasions. Well, then I guess I have to say it. I'm not going to be the Alabama coach. I think I've said this over and over and over.
Yeah.
He was at LSU at the time when he said that?
No, he was with the Dolphins.
Oh, he was with the Dolphins at that point in time. Yeah. Okay.
But that's where we are.
Yeah, listen, and that is why you take what Urban Meyer says at face value. It could very well be he was interested in the job and found out that USC was not interested in him. Because Urban Meyer costs a ton of money. He is going to be a top of the market price, and he's also going to be in charge of everything. And whether you're talking about pro sports owners or university presidents, sometimes control is a big issue. And sometimes it can be a real roadblock to organizations and even college teams where, I mean, if you gave Urban Meyer the autonomy and the power, same thing, and the money that he wants and said, here, build this thing, I have no doubt he could take USC to where Pete Carroll took USC.
Absolutely. But
no doubt at all.
That's the decision. He may not be interested.
He might not
be. But I think the thought process by Mike Bone and the powers that be at USC is an interesting one, because they have flailed on several hires since Pete Carroll has been gone. So I agree with you. If there was interest from Urban Meyer, that I would open up the vault, because it is important to the people at USC to get back to that profile.
Yep.
There's no doubt in my mind that if you hired Urban Meyer and paid him an astronomical amount of money, that USC is back on that profile. Mm-hmm. He won at Bowling Green. He won at Utah. He won at Florida. He won at Ohio State. He's won 85% of the games he's coached in college football. That's unheard of. He's going to be a massive failure in the NFL. That's how I currently feel.
I agree.
So
with
there
you.
Might be some swaying between now and the end of the college football season to get him on board. I don't. He can say it now on September 15th. There's no chance I'm going there. But a lot can transpire in a bad way to change his mind between now and then.
And the big mistake for both parties involved might not make this happen in the offseason. You fire Clay Helton at the end of last year, and you hire Urban Meyer before he goes to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Then you're not.
Well, that's where USC deserves some criticism. It certainly would have been a possibility.
Mm-hmm. So the question becomes now, who is USC going to focus on? You mentioned James Franklin. Apparently there's mutual interest between the two, and why wouldn't there be?
I'm a coach.
Yeah, here's James Franklin. As soon as I can find what audio is playing, I can shut this off. There we go. James Franklin on the USC opening.
As you guys know, I can't stand in any form of distraction. So I'll discuss this today with the leadership council so that we can make sure that all of our energy and all of our energy is on our preparation for Auburn. And that's how we'll handle it. I'm gonna talk to the leadership council today about it.
What, that you can't be asked questions about job openings?
Well, yeah, that's
Eric Bieniemy's
distractions,
name.
Man. They're the devil.
Eric Bieniemy, who's been left out of the last several coaching cycles in the
guy.
NFL.
Uh-huh.
Well, he actually went to Colorado, which I think is an interesting choice, but he did spend time on the USC staff, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
His name has surfaced. Here's Reese Davis from ESPN with an interesting name.
If I were Mike Bonin, you're going to hear a lot about Luke Fickell, and rightfully so, because he hired him at Cincinnati. If I were in that chair making the choice, the first thing I would do is go and make Matt Rhule convince me that he's happy in the NFL, and I would make him say no. Now, if he does, then we move on from there.
Matt Rhule, who came from college, went to the Carolina Panthers, had success at Temple, rebuilding that program, had success at Baylor, rebuilding that program. That's an interesting choice. Let me throw another name at you, Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien was very good in college, not so good in the pros, and he's also a guy that is a much better head coach than he is a GM. We know that for a fact.
Well, that's true.
So that's kind of,
He's got his feet in the college game again as the offensive coordinator at Alabama.
Right.
So when they put up the astronomical numbers that they're going to put up this year, he'll, at the end of the season,
probably be a pretty sexy
candidate.
Yeah.
And who were the two previous coordinators at Alabama?
Steve Sarkisian
and
Lane Kiffin,
who both went to Alabama.
Who were both the USC head coaches before.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. And then there's Matt Campbell. I don't know if Iowa State's performance against Iowa has kind of muted that a little bit, but he was really considered an up-and-coming head coach.
He is still. Yeah. They ran into a tough team. Iowa played really well. I'm curious to see where they go.
Mm-hmm.
Keyshawn Johnson from ESPN Radio's morning show, a proud USC product. He's talked about his frustration, and actually he was one of the more vocal on social media after that Saturday night loss to Stanford, where he said, "I can't fight on with this man anymore," using USC's own terminology. But here he is talking about one of the failures of USC football, and that's missing out on a lot of L.A. recruits.
There's four quarterbacks that I could think of, five. The five that I could think of, Matt Corral, Ole Miss. You know where he's from? Westlake Village, California, went to Oaks Christian. C.J. Stroud, you know where he's at? Ohio State, Southern California backdoor. You could go J.T. Daniels, transfer, was not held on to because Kadon Slovis had a good year after J.T. had an ACL. So he decided to move on, but we couldn't retain him in the program. We couldn't convince him enough to stay in the program and just that. DJU's at Clemson. Oh, by the way, if you know anything about USC football program in Orange County, California, which is pretty much the mecca for our alumni support, Bryce Young went to Modern Day High School. You know who else went there? Matt Leinart. Huh. Guess where he's at now? Alabama. So you allowed recruits like that to get away.
Yeah, get your stuff together, USC. Keep your kids at home so you can stop plucking all the Arizona quarterbacks.
Right.
Maybe one of them can stay at ASU.
Right.
For goodness sake, sign Matt Leinart. Is that what he was saying there?
You know where he's at? He's at a college football set on Fox on Saturday.
Yeah. Listen, and here's the thing, too, about this. I heard, I forget who it was, somebody was saying that in the meantime, you know, ASU has made inroads in the Pac-12, and seeing where that goes from here is going to be very, very interesting. A national analyst said that ASU is trying to create and sell their program on a vibe.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I was curious what you would think about that. I mean, I think I know what I think it means. Kind of a different setting.
Yeah. How sustainable is that now, though?
That's
interesting stuff from USC. Coming up next, we'll talk some NFL. Mark Schlereth is back for another year with us on Bickley and Murata Mornings, and we'll talk to Mark next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. NFL analyst Mark Schlereth talks football with Bickley and Murata. Brought to you by Earnhardt Ford in Chandler, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Visit EarnhardtFord.com.
Oh, yeah. Back for another year talking football with us two knuckleheads. Mark Schlereth, NFL on Fox, 104.3 The Fan in Denver. He joins us right now here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Mark, how are you?
I am great. How are you guys? Great to be with you for another season. Really, always have fun with you guys.
Yeah, we're just doing it.
Likewise,
doing it
man.
Earlier these days since they moved us to morning. So that might work out better for your schedule.
Yeah, you're kind of like the guy who does CrossFit, huh? Now you know that guy. Just sit around for 30 seconds and let him tell you about how he does CrossFit. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've moved to the morning drive time. I'm kind of a big deal.
Right.
I got you. I read you.
Thank you for calling him out like that, brother. I appreciate that. I enjoyed that very much. The Cardinals surprised a lot of people on Sunday, not just with their margin of victory against Tennessee, but actually playing physical football. And a lot of people, you remember the pretty boy football tag that was attached to Cliff Kingsbury. Did you notice that level of physicality? And what does it mean when you really have a team that knows how to play with true physicality?
Yeah, for me, it was shocking. And, I mean, not that Cliff Kingsbury isn't pretty, because he is absolutely
good-looking man.
Gorgeous.
Yes, he is.
He's on a list. I mean, Brady, obviously, I don't know if you spend any time with Jimmy Garoppolo, but that guy is stunning. It's really hard to talk to him. And Cliff Kingsbury, he's right behind those guys. But yeah, I was shocked, and that was one of the notes I took as we went back and looked at the game. Was I was just shocked that they could line up and absolutely, essentially, thunder punch right in the throats the Tennessee Titans, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And when I'm talking Tennessee last year, going back to last year, they were one of the most physically dominant offensive lines, one of the most physically dominant groups in football. And to just get absolutely handled. I know you guys talked about the left tackle.
Taylor Lewan.
Name for Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lewan. Lewan, you know, saying, hey, man, thanks, Chandler Jones, for whipping my ass. I'll get better from it, and you guys deserve better. I'm a better player than that. Across the board, up and down, a physical group that just got absolutely waylaid. So I was shocked. At how well they handled that aspect of the game. And dude, Kyler Murray is like, if he's not, if you ended the season today, which I know you don't, but if you did, you'd have the defensive player of the year and you'd have the offensive, you'd have the MVP and Kyler Murray in my mind. I mean, he was like Mighty Mouse. I come to save the day, running around doing all his things. It was an amazing performance for week one, and I guarantee you the Tennessee Titans are in their meetings right now absolutely embarrassed about the ass-whipping they took.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people said that they didn't look like they were ready to play football. I know they had some COVID issues in the offseason and in the preseason. They didn't play any of their starters in the preseason, but I always appreciate your take specifically on offensive line play, Mark. How about not only Taylor Lewan struggling the way he did, but also the Titans failing to recognize it and give him much in terms of help against Chandler Jones?
Yeah, well, I mean, your ability to make adjustments, that's a big part of game planning. You know, being on the sideline, that's what separates a lot of coaches. And, when you talk to really good coaches, I think, they understand matchups. They understand what they want to attack. The really good coaches get that. I mean, pretty much the bad coaches understand that, right? They see a big, juicy ribeye steak, and that looks delicious, right? I love it. Fat, it's all marbled, it's gristly. I mean, it is tremendous, right?
Yes, definitely.
But listen, you can't just eat. At times, you got to look at what the issues are and how we're going to mitigate those issues. And the good coaches will say, hey, man, I got to bypass the ribeye and just have a burger because I got to make sure I take care of this guy because this guy is struggling. Or they get on the sideline after two drives and say, hey, man, we've got to adjust this because what we thought we were going to get, we're not getting. And, the stubborn coaches will get out there and say, you guys just have to be tougher. You guys just have to execute. And that's one of the things you see in this league on a consistent basis. The failure, the failure to either adjust or the failure to mitigate a potential disaster. And the bad coaches will just say, man, this ribeye is too good. You're just going to have to hold up. I just can't bypass that. And the bottom line is, don't be surprised when you put a guy in a position to fail and he fails. That's not his fault. Mm-hmm. That's your fault. That's dumb coaching. And I see it time and time again in this league. And the good coaches avoid it. And the guys who get fired every year, they just say, hey, hold up. This is too good to pass by.
Yeah, you're so right. All right, I'm going to ask you a little bit about Aaron Rodgers, because it's one thing to have a bad game in week one, but a guy like that losing by 35 points, and you were right in the middle of all that weirdness when you were getting information about what was going on with him in Green Bay. Do you think all of that has kind of created a distrust or something in that locker room that kind of played into what we saw in week one with the Packers?
Well, I mean, it's always hard when you don't get along with management, right? You feel like you've been, disrespected, I guess is the word. But the bottom line, when it comes time to play, it's like my coach used to say all the time, up all night with a crying baby, I don't give a crap. You know what? You got to play. And that's the way it is. If you're going to be out there, you've got to play. You not only have to play well, injured, whether it's injuries or hurt feelings, you got to go out there and you got to perform because that's your job. And so if you let that bother you to the point where you just lay an egg like he laid an egg, unacceptable. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's hiking in Arizona and down on a bunch of peyote and growing a man bun. I don't know. I don't know what the hell it is, but I will say this. Get good or get gone. That's the saying. And you know what? And that's one of the most embarrassing performances. Now, I know Aaron well enough to know that he's embarrassed by that performance. He's upset by that performance. And I would be very cautious if I was the team that had to face the Packers this weekend. I think it's Detroit that they're playing.
Oh, yes.
Other than worrying about your kneecaps, I don't think there's going to be a lot to worry about on that one. Aaron Rodgers should have a hell of a bounce back game, I would anticipate.
Well, the team that played Detroit last week, San Francisco, you've got them on your game on Fox this week against Philadelphia. It was an interesting performance by the 49ers. They're hit with the injury bug again. I mean, what are your early impressions of the 49ers from what you've been able to gather so far, Mark?
Well, I will tell you, I probably talked to 12 teams plus this offseason. And I have a lot of connections with different GMs and different coaches and guys that I trust, and I consult for a couple of teams. So, I'm constantly talking to teams about concepts and just things of that nature. Every one of the teams I talk to, and I mean every single one of them, talked about Kyle Shanahan's running game and how they were pilfering from it, how they were trying to implement some of his running game. It is so simplistic, but it's so diverse. You know, the juxtaposition of complexity and simplicity all at the same time. And what they do is they can take a one play, like an 18 handoff, for instance. And, for nine guys, it's always the same. Two guys change entry points, change techniques, change blocking assignments. And to the defense, that one play looks like seven or eight different plays.
Yeah.
And with the motions and the shifts that they use, it just makes guys take a half a step to the right, a half a step to the left, and it gives you a better angle to go from first level to second level to get it blocked. It is like, it's a symphony. It is like a bunch of trained seals. I mean, it is fun to watch. I don't know if watching trained seals is fun. I've never been to a trained seal show. It sounds fascinating, though. It really does sound fascinating.
I'd watch it.
Like, right. They do train seals, though, right?
Like, they
I don't
do.
Know why they even train those things. Yeah.
With a lot of sardines, Mark. That's how they do it.
Right. And then we watch it, and we all clap for these stupid things, and all they really do is they're just there for entertainment. They want to eat sardines. Really, when you think about it, we're really dumb people.
Like, yes, we are.
We think that is, oh, look at his whiskers. He's eating fish. Yeah, he's a freaking seal. That's what seals do. So I don't understand. Why we're fascinated about stuff like that. I guess it's mostly because we're dumb.
Mark, like I said, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show this year.
You're
talking football. We'll do it again next week.
Oh, I can't wait.
Mark Schler, the NFL on Fox, 104.3 The Fan in Denver. He's back.
He's outstanding.
He'll join us every week to talk NFL. During the season. Coming up, final thoughts on this Shenanigans Wednesday. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata. Song of the Day. Brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Sonic Grill Cheeseburger. For a limited time, only at Sonic.
All right, today's Song of the Day, my man Jerry Cantrell and Alice in Chains, Post Lane Staley.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Never heard the song before? It's called Stone.
Stone?
Stone, yes.
Not stoned?
No. No, no. Stone, in honor of the Cardinals' defensive line. Or just because I like this song.
There's always an element of liking the song, too. There's nothing wrong with that. If we can't influence our own Song of the Day choices, what are we even doing?
What are we doing? Yeah. That's exactly right.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's got Dan Bickley written all over it.
It's got some crunch. Yeah.
Is that your biggest, the most important component for guitar work for you is the crunchiness?
Kind of. I don't necessarily need the virtuoso, you know? It's just the crunch.
You don't need the shred, the vibe, just the crunch.
Right, exactly.
Right, I like the shred.
That. Yeah, yeah, right.
Sounds like a taco salad up in
here.
Yeah, kind of does.
Hungry.
There you go. Yeah. Stone by Alice in Chains. Today's Song of the Day.
Bickley and Murata going off the grid. Off the grid. Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
All right, we start off the grid today with a daily dose of Vinny Joe trivia. We know Kyler Murray did not win the NFC Offensive Player of the Week award. Matthew Stafford won it for week one, although Murray was certainly a candidate. He did win that award three times last season. Your question today is, what AFC player was the only player to win the Offensive Player of the Week award more often than Kyler Murray last year?
Patrick Mahomes?
Good guess, but no.
Derrick Henry?
No.
Justin Herbert?
No.
Justin Sherbert?
No. Delicious, but
you're,
no.
You are ridiculous.
I don't know.
Who are you talking
about? Lamar Jackson.
Oh, that's a good guess.
The correct answer, Josh Allen
of
the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
Won the award four times last year in the AFC. He won it in week 2, week 9, week 13, and week 15. Didn't get off to a good start this year. There you go. There's today's edition of Vinny Joe Trivia.
Okay.
Stumped a lot of you.
You did?
Yeah, that's a point for me. We're going to revisit from social studies since one of Jarrett's, if not your favorite all-time comedian, Norm Macdonald, sadly passed away yesterday, 61 years old after a 10-year secret battle with cancer. But we had a comedy-related social studies question that we didn't get to. So
yeah, just open-ended question. Who is your favorite stand-up comic of all time? I'm curious who you guys have.
Yeah, that's hard to narrow down.
I will forever be, I will always put Richard Pryor on the pedestal because I just think he was so influential, not only hysterical and groundbreaking and fearless, but he was so influential in breeding a new generation of comics.
Yes. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Before my, like, that was kind of before my time when I got into comedy. My answer is pretty, it's hard to narrow down, but I got to give the nod to Carrot Top.
Really? I was going to say, wow.
No, my group, I've been fortunate enough to see some of these guys live. Seeing Seinfeld live was amazing. Seeing Chris Rock live was amazing. Dave Chappelle is brilliant. Dave Attell he makes me laugh very, very hard. Mitch Hedberg, another comedian that left us.
That's another guy with a very different, unique kind of delivery.
Yeah.
Like Norm Macdonald.
Yeah.
I think Jarrett does a Mitch Hedberg impression, I think.
Did I ever tell you that on my first date with my wife, I told her that she looked like Mitch Hedberg?
Did you really?
Absolutely.
And she went out with you again?
It took some convincing.
Mitch Hedberg wasn't a bad-looking guy, but...
Well, She told the story in our wedding video.
You are so tone deaf. Do you remember the day you said Sarah looked like Trevor Lawrence?
No, that's not true. I said Trevor Lawrence looked like Sarah.
Okay.
Either way.
But I didn't mean
not
it as
a compliment.
Insult.
It is an Christ. Insult. You lunkhead?
Yes.
You are a lunkhead.
That's exactly what
I can't
are.
Believe you. I never heard that story
You were
before.
Here when he did it.
You no, I didn't hear the Mitch Hedberg story.
Oh, now that way.
If I heard it, yeah. I don't remember.
I know he's not lying because he's told me that before off the air.
Yes.
Like,
wow, you really know how to charm him,
Jarrett. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, so
on
Jarrett.
On our wedding video, it's like, you know, tell a story of how you first met. And she's like, well, on our first date, he told me that I looked like a older male dead comedian.
Honestly, I don't understand how in that moment you felt like that was a good thing.
Because you know how awkward I am.
Right. That's my point.
In
That's
everyday life, imagine being on a first date with someone, how awkward and dumb I am.
After all these years, do you think she still looks like him?
What happened that time you first asked a girl out? You remember that story, Jared?
Remember it. He still talks about it weekly in therapy. I wanted to get this into...
I think Jared's ending the show early just to get to get this over with.
Pass the gas!
Here's a deal for you, Bick. Portland State head football coach Bruce Barnum went on John Canzano's radio show in Portland. They're hosting Western Utah on Saturday. And he wants to get people out to the game, so he said, I got a deal for you. Anybody who hears me on your show, just say you heard me on the radio at the Barney Beer Garden, and I'll buy your beer. Canzano said, how many beers? He goes, all of them.
Oh, no.
Curious
oh,
to see no. what his bar bill is
oh,
on Saturday
no.
for Coach Barnum.
Oh, no.
Maybe Jed Fish should try that. Maybe. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to Ami Alsade and Mark Schlereth for joining us. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 6. Wolf and Luke up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Have a great day, everybody.